Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Gary and Shannon in for Handel today. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Still standing by for President Biden. Scheduled to make some sort of remarks regarding the Colonial Pipeline. Mini disaster, I suppose, that took place. The cyber hack that led to that pipeline being shut down. Pipeline has restarted, but it's going to take several days to get the gas and fuel where it needs to go to alleviate some of the shortages that we've seen up and down the East Coast. Did you know today is Top Gun Day?
You're damn right it is.
Why? I mean, why May 13th? What?
Maybe the movie came out, although I believe it was a summer movie.
I thought it was a July movie, yeah.
Mm. It's also Crouton Day, Frog Jumping Day, Apple Pie Day, and Fruit Cocktail Day.
Wow, you really have day knowledge, girlfriend.
That's significant.
That's what I do. You're welcome.
Brian Suit's going to join us at the bottom of the hour for Tactical Thursday. We have a lot to get to about this Israeli-Palestinian conflict, what it potentially means for the United States if there is a larger Mideast war that breaks out.
Well, Justin Worsham hosts the Dad Podcast, and we join him to, you know, get some tips on dadding and parenting in general.
Justin, what's going on?
Nothing much. I do want to break in with a very important story, if you guys don't mind. Top Gun Day was intended to celebrate the release date, but the problem is that the actual release date was on May 16th, 1986. And what we are actually celebrating is what, in my opinion, is a better fighter jet movie. And Gary the Pilot, I'm sure, would agree. Iron Eagle Day should be celebrated today.
Well, I'm an Iron Eagle fan because of the F-15. I think it was
right,
F-15.
Of course. Everybody
is that the plane you got to ride in?
No, technically I was in
F-16. Fly.
Oh,
yeah, I was flying.
But I think it's important. Yeah, you were flying it. It wasn't a ride. I've seen video evidence better than Sasquatch of Gary flying a fighter jet.
And I didn't throw up.
That was what I think was the major victory.
I'll take it as a win.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to. There was a moment I wanted to, but I didn't.
Well, Justin, the education system has been thrown off the tracks the past year or so, but they're saying that maybe there may be some online learning that continues even after we move out of pandemic times.
Yeah, and I want to say for those of you that haven't heard us do the segment, Gary and Shannon have been taking on the cause of getting kids back in school, especially in Southern California, and getting the right information out there so that parents can push and get their kids back in school. And what I'm interesting about this article that came out is that they did some surveys and everything, and what they're finding is statistically people are more inclined to let their high school age kids take some online courses. The part that's misleading is that it has a stat in here that says 73% of American parents said that they would do that. But that was taken back in May of 2020. So that's just, what, 2-3 months into our quarantine and lockdown? As a parent, I can tell you that if you would have surveyed those same parents, say maybe 9 or 10 months, they would change their mind to go get these kids the hell out of my house and get them back into a school, and not just for their education, but for everybody's sanity.
What's funny is they say that some research concludes that certain online schools are indistinguishable from brick and mortar actual schools when you compare academic achievement. That to me seems very strange, that it would be counterintuitive, that that doing it online, as we've heard before, is less than, it is not as good as in-person learning.
Yeah, and they weren't very specific, right? So what are we saying? Are we saying like a high-end online school that's very effective and we're comparing it to a school where maybe most of the students there are struggling or are behind? Maybe a lot of times statistically, like as a realtor, you'll look at school scores And sometimes people think it's misleading, where you could have a good school, but it just happens to have, say, a Spanish immersion program. So that means that there's a segment of the population at the school that is all learning Spanish, whether they speak Spanish at home or not, which affects their language arts scores, which then affects the score of the school. So it's not the same. The other thing I thought was interesting, too, is that they said this could be better for kids who struggle with anxiety being in the classroom. And I think you guys would agree. I think that's a horrible reason to not have a kid in school. And I don't want to claim to be able to completely sympathize with anybody who struggles with anxiety. I feel like I do, but I'm sure it's nowhere near the scale that it could go. But to me, this compares back to, I think it was like 3 years ago. Remember how the last couple of decades we had this surge of peanut allergies that everybody's like, why is this all of a sudden a thing? Well, about 3 years ago, they did some research and they found out that the reason why there was a surge in peanut allergies is because doctors and pediatricians were recommending against introducing peanuts in a child's diet until the child was at least 7 or 8 months old, because then the kid, if they did have a reaction, it was easier to treat them than if they were really, really young. And what they found is that actually waiting to introduce peanuts made them more likely to develop a peanut allergy.
Of course.
So this thing that we were doing to protect our kids was actually making it worse for them.
Well,
I will go back and say that if you protect your kids from anxiety, you're not teaching them how to deal with anxiety.
Exactly. Raise your hand if you felt anxiety going to school at one point in your life. Now, every single person who's listening can lower their hand, because we all felt it. And you know what? You worked through it and you learned how to deal with it for the most part. I couldn't agree with you more, Justin. I also find it interesting that this survey can, they're talking about how there's more of a palate, I guess you could say, or an appetite for online learning. They're basing that on a survey conducted in May of 2020. It found 73% of parents in America would be willing to have their kids take some high school courses online. 73% of American parents. Yes, but you have to keep in mind that was in May 2020. What were we talking about in May 2020? Schools being closed, period. No learning.
Right.
So, of course, the majority of people were in favor of some kind of learning, but I find that they say that's a 17% increase from 2009. Well, 2009, you know, we weren't thinking pandemic, but May 2020, we were in the thick of it. I wonder if you took that survey now, I bet there would be a lot less appetite, because parents have seen what online learning has done to their kids.
Yeah. Hey, Justin.
And the LA Times. Oh, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry,
no, you finish. I have a side note to that story.
The LA Times recently had an article that put out where they surveyed parents more close to today. And what they actually found was that statistically lower income households, weirdly enough, were more inclined to want to stay with distance learning, whereas higher. So if you had a household that made it more than $150,000 a year, you're off the charts. You wanted kids back in the classroom. But below that, you actually wanted you wanted the kids to stay home. And it seems kind of counterintuitive, like maybe those people didn't have a job where they could work from home, and so their kids are by themselves. But I think it's because also people in the lower income were more inclined to contract COVID and have issues with it statistically, right?
Yes.
So that's why I think they just had a different perspective on COVID than other people.
Side note about schools, the president of the second largest teachers union is now, for the first time, calling on all schools to be open for 5 days a week for in-person learning in the next academic year. Teachers unions have been very reticent to get into this, but Randy Weingarten, head of the American Federation of Teachers, declared that this morning in a speech. That even though only about half school districts right now nationwide are back fully, that she said she wants and we should advocate for all schools to reopen in the fall for in-person teaching, in-person learning, and in-person support. And we must keep them open fully and safely 5 days a week. So
that's a no-brainer.
It sounds to me that this Randy Weingarten has been listening to the Gary and Shannon podcast and is just getting caught up from February.
Clearly.
That's what it sounds like.
Go get yourself a hype friend like Justin. That's all I got to say. All right, coming up next.
I'm going to do this for you guys.
Let's talk baby making, shall we?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We have some baby making music, John?
Oh, boy, I hate to see what John's baby making music is.
I am excited.
Gary and Shannon will continue for the Bill Handel Show. Jennifer Jones-Lee has an update.
I wanna see you. I wanna feed you. I wanna show you, man, that
your body.
What is it you kids say? Dead ass? I dead ass still listen to this song in 2021. I want you to
follow. Poor wife, John. Poor wife. Gary and Shannon. In for Handle today. He's out with a back injury. Still no word from the White House. President Biden is expected to make some comments today about the Colonial Pipeline restarting yesterday. They do have gas shortages, gasoline, and other fuel shortages along the East Coast that will take a few days to kind of work themselves out as the fuel starts getting pushed back through that pipeline. And Bloomberg reported that Colonial did pay a $5 million ransom to the group that eventually or that originally hacked their system.
Justin Worsham, host of the Dad Podcast, joins us most Thursdays, and we were all surprised, or maybe not surprised, to hear that the birth rate did not explode during the COVID times.
Right? Like, normally if there's a blackout or something where people don't have anything to do, they all resort to... And so what they're saying is that the birth rate is down 4% from the first quarter in 2020. So this is a couple years ago to 2019. But what another interesting thing that's come out of it, though, is that while the overall birth rate seems to be down, what has gone up is mothers seeking other forms of getting pregnant and having kids without having a partner. So the pandemic has spiked this interest in being a single mother and saying, I don't need a man to have a kid. I'm just going to go figure it out.
Let me ask you as a dude, because I don't think I've ever in my mind, in my heart, ever thought, I really want to do the parenting thing, but I'd rather do it by myself. Have you ever thought that?
Well, here's the thing. I have a friend who is going to have a baby on her own. And it's because she hasn't found anyone. And she didn't want to settle for someone just to be a parent.
Right.
And so she's at a point in life where she makes enough money and can pay for childcare and things like that. And it just got tired of waiting for a husband.
And wants enough to be a parent.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do think it's worth mentioning that statistically, right, kids of single parents statistically struggle more. But I would argue that there's a subset in there that is keeping that bell curve higher in that there's you need to think, you need to compensate for the idea of somebody who wants kids. We talked about this on one of the segments during you guys' normal time spot where they found that kids of same-sex couples are actually more likely to do well in school and be successful. And kind of what we drew from that is that for them, it is a calculated thing. When you bring in the concept of Freakonomics, when abortion became legal 20 years later, the crime rate plummeted. And they attributed that to the fact that whenever people were having kids that they didn't want, that therefore they weren't the best parents raising the best people. So I think it all checks out. As much as I like as a dad to be like, well, I think it's important that dads have it. I think if these people really want kids and they're going to focus on the kid, I don't think this is a societal scare as people might want it to sound like.
And skinny jeans. You know, we can't have the conversation without bringing up the prevalence of skinny jeans among today's young child-bearing men. Well, you know what I mean. Baby-making ages of men.
Okay.
That was a struggle.
You got 30 minutes left, okay, Shannon? You got 30 minutes left. And probably 27 of those are going to be filled by the president. You know what I mean?
It's so possible.
don't even worry. And I'm always here and I'm listening, okay, Shannon? I'm here for you.
I see you.
And I got my pom-pom and I'm just cheering for you. If you need me outside the window so you can see me, I will come.
You've done that before.
Justin, thank you.
I have. I'm a creep. Thank you, guys. You guys are the best.
Justin Worsham, host of the Dad Podcast. You can find it on the iHeart Radio app. All right. The plan is to have Brian Suits when we come back with Tactical Thursday, but we're also standing by waiting for the president to speak after the Colonial Pipeline hack. The podium is set up in the White House, and there are two doors, and I don't know which door that guy's coming out of. If he speaks, we'll bring it to you.
Gary and Shannon in for Bill Handle this week. Jennifer Jones-Lee.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy.
Chumba.
The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And let's update take you live to the president.
The ransomware cyber attack that impacted on the Colonial Pipeline over this past week. As of yesterday evening, Colonial has begun restarting the flow of refined products in their pipeline. This morning, Colonial reported that fuel is beginning to flow to a majority of the markets that they service, and they should be reaching full operational capacity as we speak, as I speak to you right now. That is good news. But I want to be clear, we'll not feel the effects at the pump immediately. This is not like flicking on a light switch. This pipeline is 5,500 miles long. It had never been fully shut down its entire history. And so fully, and we have to, now they have to safely and fully return to normal operations. And it's going to take some time. And there may be some hiccups, like I just had, along the way here. Still, we expect to see a region-by-region return to normalcy beginning this weekend and continuing into next week. In the meantime, I want to update you on what our administration is doing to accelerate this process, to mitigate shortages, and to protect you from price gouging. Protect the American people from price gouging, all those along the line. First, we relaxed rules for pipeline operators to provide flexibility for emergency personnel to help manually get portions of the pipeline up and running earlier this week. Secondly, over the weekend, we reviewed and worked with the company to get a portion of the pipeline system from North Carolina to Maryland to operate under manual control and deliver its existing inventory. In addition, we put in place emergency orders that lifts the hours restrictions and allowed states to lift weight restrictions for tank truck drivers to be on the road. This allows those drivers to work more and carry more fuel to the affected regions. Third, the Environmental Protection Agency issued a targeted 20-day waiver of standards in several states to give fuel suppliers more flexibility to use available fuels where they're needed, which will boost the fuel supply. And those last two actions have made tens of millions of gallons of additional fuel available each day to be able to be distributed. Put another way, the extraordinary measures the administration has taken, we estimate, sent enough gas to stations to fill the tanks of over 5 million vehicles in the last few days. Fourthly, as part of an effort to use every possible means to accelerate fuel deliveries, last night I granted a waiver of the Jones Act to fuel suppliers. This allows non-U.S. flagged vessels to transport refined fuel products from the Gulf of Mexico to affected areas, and we'll grant additional waivers if necessary. These steps are temporary, but they will remain in place until full service is fully restored. This is a whole-of-government response to get more fuel more quickly to where it's needed and to limit the pain being felt by American customers. Now, here's what drives the driver in the states that are affected. Here's what you can do, the drivers. Don't panic, number one. I know seeing lines at the pumps or gas stations with no gas can be extremely stressful, but this is a temporary situation. Do not get more gas than you need in the next few days. As I said, we expect the situation to begin to improve by the weekend and into early next week, and gasoline supply is coming back online, and panic buying will only slow the process. And I also want to say something to the gas stations. Do not, I repeat, do not try to take advantage of consumers during this time. I'm going to work with governors in the affected states to put a stop to price gouging wherever it arises. And I'm asking our federal agencies to stand ready to provide assistance to state-level efforts to monitor and address any price gouging at the pump. Nobody should be using this situation for financial gain. That's what the hackers are trying to do. That's what they're about, not us. That's not who we are. And as for the people who carried out this attack, the FBI has released details on the attack so others can take steps to prevent from being victimized like Colonial has been. We do not believe, I emphasize, we do not believe the Russian government was involved in this attack. But we do have strong reason to believe that the criminals who did the attack are living in Russia. That's where it came from. We're from Russia. We have been in direct communications with Moscow about the imperative for responsible countries to take decisive action against these ransomware networks. We're also going to pursue a measure to disrupt their ability to operate. And our Justice Department has launched a new task force dedicated to prosecuting ransomware hackers to the full extent of the law. And finally, let me say that this event is providing an urgent reminder of why we need to harden our infrastructure and make it more resilient against all threats, natural and man-made. My administration is continuing to safeguard our critical infrastructure, the majority of which is privately owned and managed, like Colonial Pipeline. Private entities are in charge of their own cybersecurity, and we know what they need. They need greater private sector investment in cybersecurity. And that's why we launched a new public-private initiative in April that is focusing on strengthening cybersecurity in the electric sector for natural gas, for pipelines, as well as water systems and other lifeline sectors. And last night, I signed an executive order to improve the nation's cybersecurity. It calls for federal agencies to work more closely with the private sector to share information, strengthen cybersecurity practices, and deploy technologies that increase reliance against cyber attacks. It outlines innovative ways the government will drive to deliver security and software, using federal buying power to jumpstart the market and improve the products that all Americans use. To assist in this urgent work of protecting our nation against cyber attacks, I'm calling on the United States Senate to move quickly to confirm Chris Inglis as our National Cyber Director and Jen Easterly to be the Director of Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency at the Department of Homeland Security. In America, we've seen critical infrastructure taken offline by floods, fires, storms, and criminal hackers. In Texas last month, we saw what happens when storms hit power systems that aren't fully modernized or ready for the threats of extreme weather with tragic results. Now we're seeing the effect of criminal hackers with gas lines throughout the Southeast. And we're in a competition with China and the rest of the world to win the 21st century economically. And we're not going to win it in competing with an infrastructure that is out of the 20th century. We need a modern infrastructure. My American Jobs Plan includes transformative investments in modernizing and securing our critical infrastructure. Later this afternoon, I'll be meeting with Republican senators to discuss ways we can move forward on modernizing the infrastructure we have today and building the infrastructure we need for tomorrow. I'm willing to negotiate, as I've indicated yesterday, to the House members and to the leadership. But it's clearer than ever that doing nothing is not an option. Again, we expect things to return to normal over the next several days. I will be monitoring Colonial's progress and the federal government's support every step of the way. So stay strong. Help is on the way. We're going to get through this as we always do as Americans, and we're going to do it together. And it's going to be quick. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
President Biden there from the White House regarding the Colonial Pipeline and the situation there did say that we have to harden our infrastructure, et cetera, but that the Russian government didn't have anything to do with the attack is what he said. But the things are going to get back to normal. It'll take a few days, but the gas stations up and down the East Coast will have full tanks by, I don't think he gave a date, but you can imagine by this weekend, things should at least appear to be approaching normal.
Israel's defense minister has approved the mobilization of 9,000 more reservist troops amid fighting with Hamas, and that is where we kick off Tactical Thursday with Brian Suits.
Hello, Brian. What's going on?
Thank you for not playing the theme. That's a waste of 30 seconds.
We'd rather hear you talk. That's for sure.
You want to talk hack or Gaza?
Well, your call. Maybe the hack first, because I was kind of amazed the president did say Russia didn't have anything to do with the attack, although the attackers were probably in Russia. Is it possible you could perpetrate something like this from inside Russia without the government knowing?
Nil. Yeah. Are the amount of possibility. He's saying that to help Putin save face, because Putin's feet are to the fire, because Putin knows that we could stop every electrical grid in Russia in about an hour from now. He knows that, and he tolerates these guys because he gets a piece of the action. And they are part of the GRU, military intelligence. It's a money making thing. If he had called them out, Putin would have gone to the sandbags and everything. But yes, you cannot do anything like this inside of Russia without their knowledge. And the Russian deal is, okay, you guys in that basement of your mom's house in Sverdlovsk, but we get a piece of it. That they, you know, just like Putin weaponized the Russian mob here in California, he's weaponized hackers in Russia because he's not stupid. He's saying, look, let them do this for themselves. If it helps us, we get a piece of it. And, you know, there's a mechanism in the U.S. Constitution. Ron Paul talked about this in 2009. Article 1, Section 8 allows Congress to issue what are called letters of marque and reparation. And that's private ship captains used to be able to go out and take a Royal Navy ship during the War of 1812 and then sell it and keep the money. You know, and so when he was talking about it with the Somali piracy, and it never passed. I mean, just imagine if you unleashed everybody on Reddit right now, you know, in subreddit, / Jennifer Lawrence, and you said, hey guys, take an hour or two and hack Russia. You know, Russia would be on its knees. And for people if I'm speaking Swahili, for people who don't know, the electrical grid is run completely by computer software in 2021. There's no guy going down with a big red handle that connects like Dr. Frankenstein, you know, animating his monsters. Nothing like that at all. And the United States is divided up into three separate grids. There is the West, which is, say, where we are, for example, the East, and then Texas is on its own grid. And so the Iranians have the tools, the Chinese have the tools, the Russians have the tools, the North Koreans have the tools to cripple the Western grid for 72 or 100 hours, knowing full well that, you know, the people of Virginia couldn't go 2 days without putting gas in Target bags. You know, so we're just demonstrating the value of a hack. The only reason they don't do it is that they assume that the USS Ronald Reagan will be on the horizon the next morning to bomb the living crap out of them.
Well, Vladimir,
here's the thing. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that Vladimir Putin has his own pet energy project, the Nord Stream 2, which has been in the news. That's his project to bypass Poland, Ukraine, deliver natural gas directly to Germany. And in recent days, Biden's been kind of trying to figure out what the policy, the United States policy is going to be when it comes to this pipeline. And it just was odd timing to me that we were just talking about this. And then all of a sudden over the weekend, the Russians hack into our major pipeline.
Maybe just coincidental. The Nord Stream thing has been a story for a couple of years. It replaces the legacy natural gas pipeline. The Europeans have had Putin's needle in their arm for years for cheap natural gas. And some of them are waking up to the realization that they're basically paying Don Corleone protection money, you know, because he will have political capital over them at any time, because he cut off Ukraine's natural gas 2 years ago and called it a hack, but he made Ukraine freeze 2 years ago for about 2 months because the Ukrainians cut off the drinking water to the Crimean Peninsula. And I mean, I'm getting deep in the weeds, but you can find me on the radio.
when you come back from hardening your own infrastructure, we'll talk more about what's going on between Israel and,
am I right?
And Hamas.
Hey.
Because there is a threat, at least according to some headlines, that this is the one that leads to all-out war throughout the Middle East. So we'll talk about what that would mean for the Middle East, but also for the United States.
We do have a CHP pursuit going on here.
Yes.
And it's a gentleman in a black pickup truck who keeps waving
To the helicopters. He just pulled in and then out of the Midtown Crossing parking lot there on San Vicente. So just to give you an idea, if you see the helicopters and maybe some chippy units following him, that's who it is.
Gary and Shannon in for Handle, and Jennifer Jones-Lee has the latest.
For Handle today. He's out with a back injury on Top Gun Day. Again, I'm not quite sure exactly why. I think Justin said it came out on May 16th, but May 13th was Top Gun Day for some reason. I also made the mistake. I always assumed, because it's been 30 plus years since I've seen it, that Iron Eagle was about F-15s because that's the Eagle. But it was F-16s. Why did they call Iron Eagle if it was a Falcon that they were flying?
If only we knew somebody that served in the military.
Yeah. Oh, that guy. It is a Tactical Thursday. Brian Suits, host of Dark Secret Places, has joined us.
They didn't cover that at U.S. Army Cavalry.
They did it?
All right, guys. School circle. We're going to cover why Iron Eagle was using the F-16.
All right. Things are absolutely popping off in Hamas. I'm sorry, in Gaza and Israel right now. And As much as we have seen in terms of coverage here in the United States, their lives are just in, the definition of tension. If you live, if you live as far north as Tel Aviv, some of these rockets that are being fired from Gaza are making their way to Tel Aviv in times, you know, I guess an extension of this thing that we haven't seen for a couple decades.
You wouldn't know it if you watched the American news yesterday, because, of course, the number three Republican was getting ousted. That was the news all day. But this the range of the larger rockets is because the Iranians direct supply Hamas with these rockets. I guess I should probably dissuade people from trying to get their news from major news sources, because number one, Hamas is not a governance. It's not a government system. It's a criminal blackmail gang that's taken Gaza hostage. They do not provide for the best interests of their people. Their entire purpose is to provoke Israel every couple of years so that Israel retaliates and drops buildings. And then they hoover up all these donations from European NGOs and foundations. So the Europeans get a guilt-free way to express their anti-Semitism. Hamas get new Mercedes and villas on the Mediterranean, and I'm not exaggerating an ounce of that. And Hamas will fight to the last infant in Gaza. So ask your pro-Palestinian friends, why aren't they launching rockets from the West Bank? Aren't they as Palestinian? And it's because they're ruled by rational people on the West Bank. And so this is an Iranian script right now to cause a political crisis in Israel. Which is happening. Netanyahu is battling for his life. and ironically, he's negotiating with a coalition, an Arab party. In Israel, Arabs can vote. They're in the Knesset. In Gaza, there is no democracy, you know, and so if anyone can't see the irony of that, I can't help you. But what they're provoking now with this more lethal rocket and more of them is they're provoking the ground assault. And so, I mean, I know what President Biden said yesterday about let's hope this, you know, whatever burns up. It's not. It's going to get worse today. It'll get worse tomorrow. There'll be a ground assault by Saturday, just like 2014, but even more. Right now, as we speak, Israel's targeting Hamas-friendly banks in Gaza. They're hitting banks, and people are outside to loot. But the Israelis call ahead. You're seeing these dramatic building drops. Did you see any of those on Twitter yesterday?
I did, yeah.
The Israelis will actually hit the roof with a mortar, or a drone will hit basically a marking round. And that effectively says to everybody in that building, you have 1 hour and maybe no less than 15 minutes, but get the hell out. And they drop those towers, and the Hamas pops champagne corks because they know that the European money comes to them first, and then they hire their brother and their cousin to rebuild the building. It's believe it or not, on an international scale, this is nothing more than a money-making political move, and it's all from an Iranian script, and it is literally that cynical. And also, the other thing is, in spite of what the UN said, there's no possibility that the Arab states are on Israel's side now. That's a big sea change since for the past 15 years. It's because Iran has presented itself as the greatest threat to peace in the Middle East. And so the entire, all you can fly now directly from Israel to any Gulf Arab state. And so that's not the issue. The issue is Israel might cut out the middleman and just hit Iran and say, look, we know where these rockets are coming from. We know where the orders are coming from. We're not gonna waste any more bombs on Gaza. And the position that Hamas intentionally puts Israel in is they fire, you know, garbage unguided rockets or precision Iranian rockets, but they're still not, you know, smart weapons. They fire those at civilian areas from civilian areas in Gaza. So it puts the Israelis in the position where if they retaliate and do anything common sense, like hit the firing points, they might get a school, might get a hospital, whatever. And then the Hamas and the Iranians have finally realized that Iron Dome is great. It's technically magnificent. It's one of the best quality anti-missile systems in the world. But if you overwhelm it with a shower of targets, the crews can't reload in time. They eventually run out of reloads. And so we're seeing a case where quantity has a quality all its own.
I was thinking this is the
Achilles heel of Iron Dome.
Yeah, I was thinking about that quote that I saw you post, that quantity has a quality all its own. That's fantastic. Brian, thank you. We appreciate it.
Saturday night at 8 o'clock, it'll be fun.
At Dark Secret Place is where you can follow Brian on Twitter and then hear him Saturday and Sunday nights, as a matter of fact, right here on KFI. All right, the Gary and Shannon Show is up next. We'll see you early tomorrow morning. Stay dry, everybody.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.